So today we are celebrating the feast of the Epiphany, following the 12 days of Christmas in the traditional Christian calendar, and typically commemorating the visit of the wise men to the baby Jesus. So it marks the end of Christmas season, and it marks the beginning of a season that takes us all the way to Candlemas on the 2nd of February, 40 days after Christmas. So the Book of Common Prayer refers to the Feast of the Epiphany as the manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles. The word Epiphany comes from the Greek word epiphania, which means to manifest, to appear, to make known. So the essence of today's feast is the revelation of Christ to the whole world. So today we celebrate God showing up in our midst in the person of Jesus Christ. So in this new year, what can we learn from this season of Epiphany? What goals do we have for the year ahead? We have the whole year ahead of us. I'm sure that we could all say that there were a few good days in the past year, and there were many trying and testing days. But a new year always brings a sense of hope, doesn't it? We are optimistic about it. The previous years, with all their tragedies, problems, disappointments, failures, and sadness, are now behind us. And a brand new year lies ahead of us. At this time, we think about new opportunities, new possibilities, and maybe we think about making some resolutions, don't we? I think New Year's resolutions are one of the most difficult aspects of starting the new year. We all make them, or at least feel that we should make them. And sometimes we are afraid because we know they are soon to be broken. But I believe deep down in our hearts, at least, we are thinking about making some changes in our lifestyle. We are thinking about making some commitments. Typical New Year's resolutions might be to lose weight, to eat less, to exercise more, to spend less, and to save more, and so on and so forth. Resolutions say that deep down, we want to be a better person. We sincerely want to be more decent, more loving, more caring, more generous, more accepting, more welcoming, more spiritual, more fulfilled than we are. We don't want to repeat the mistakes we made last year, so on and so forth. And since we want to be better persons, that means we realize that we fall short of being the kind of person we ought to be and should be or want to be. Even though all of us have private areas of our life known only to us and God, we know we fall short, even if others know nothing of them. How can you and I become better people in 2025? But by that I mean, how can we become the fulfilled, moral, spiritual people we want to be or we desire to be? I am certainly for resolutions, written or unwritten, but can we not find more strength than that? A study of people in the New Testament reveals some steps to to our becoming the person we ought to be. Our gospel reading today invites us to ponder one more account surrounding the birth of Jesus, the visit of the far-traveled Magi, the wise men, to worship the baby Jesus, not in the manger, but then in a house somewhere in Bethlehem, as our gospel reading says. Of all the characters in the Christmas story, the wise men are the most enigmatic. They are mysterious beings. We know very little about them. They appear out of nowhere, from an unnamed country. How many were there? We don't know. And there is no reason to think there were only three of them, even though only three gifts are mentioned. They seem to just show up mysteriously, and just as mysteriously they are gone again. We don't know if they were philosophers, astronomers, astrologers, or all three. Nobody knows their names, but later tradition has given them names: Caspar, Balthazar, Melchior. All we know is that they came from the East. They were wise men from the East. Now, those words, wise men, are one word in Greek, magoi, which is where we get our term magi. And then later on we get that magic from that term, or magistrate, because they were magicians and magistrates to the king. Matthew's account speaks simply of wise men from the East, perhaps from Persia or Babylon, so present-day Iran and Iraq. The book of Daniel gives us a clue that they were probably pagan priests who had knowledge of astrology and astronomy and who could read the stars. These magi were the king's maker, and they had high rank in the Persian Empire. If they were from Persia or from Babylon, the journey from Babylon to Jerusalem by normal trade route, which they would have taken, is a distance of more than 800 miles. I don't know how fast you can go on a camel, but let us say 20 miles a day, which would take one 40 days. It wasn't simply casual speculation. They were not going for fun in modern terms. It was a really sincere investigation. The first thing we should do if we truly want to set a resolution this year is to take it very seriously and not casually. There is so much to learn from these wise men. They were persistent. They did not give up. These magi from the East are inquisitive, adventurous, and obedient to their calling. A sincere, serious soul is concerned to follow where the evidence leads. These individuals were deadly serious, making a 40 days journey in those days, with all the threats, wasn't possible. They were serious about it. They wanted to worship the Lord. They wanted to seek the Lord. And Jeremiah says in his book, in 29 chapter verse 13, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." We learn from experience that we are powerless to change who we are. We lack the ability to change into the people we should and desire to be. We need only to read Paul's struggle with himself in Romans chapter 7, where he says, "I do not do the things I want to do, but I do the very thing I do not want to do." This is a universal condition of human beings for which we require God's grace. And it is available if we believe. Those learned travelers, guided by the star, came first to Jerusalem, the royal city, the obvious place to look for the newborn Jewish king. They were learned, they were magi, they were scholars, they were wise. They thought when they would put their heads together, they would make a wise deduction. And they said, well, if it is a king, then presumably the capital of Judea, Jerusalem. And if we are looking for a king, we go to the palace. So they soon discover they were in the wrong place. They discovered that they actually needed the scripture to point them to the right direction. They had gone wrong. And how they are going to go right? Whatever extra uses or extraordinary uses God may employ, He always brings us to His Word, the Bible, in order that we might meet the living Word, His Son. There is no way to God except through the Christ of God, who is given to us in the Word of God. We need God's Word. We need each other. We need fellow believers. The stars by themselves won't get us there. Merely the human wisdom won't get us there. Whatever started us on our journey won't get us to our final destination. If we want to stick to our New Year's resolution, we need the grace of God, which is available to us in His Word, the Bible. According to the Bible, the Son of God is always available to help us in staying true to our commitments by the power of His Spirit. When the Magi finally leave Bethlehem, we read that they return home by a different road. That's the realization which David was talking about. But I think that their returning home by another road also a symbolic significance. The Magi, after all, forever changed by their encounter with the baby Jesus. They will never be the same. They returned home different people. And so it is only fitting that they go by another road. What about us? When we encounter Christ, aren't our lives forever changed? If there is no realization of the truth of the gospel, we still need to seek and find and knock. In today's epistle, St. Paul writes about the unsearchable riches of Christ. The wise men brought their expensive gifts, their treasures, but they recognized Jesus is the most valuable thing in the world. They recognized that Jesus is the most expensive thing in the world. That Jesus is the pearl of great price. Jesus is the stone that the builders rejected, but He became the cornerstone. They saw and knew and honored and worshiped their King and God and Savior. In the end, it is not so much about what they offered Jesus, but what they knew Jesus offered to them and all the world. Salvation and the kingdom of God. They arrived in Bethlehem with the treasures of the earth in their hands, but they left Bethlehem with the treasures of heaven in their hearts. The first thing wise men and women know is that they don't know it all. And so they ask and seek and knock diligently, not casually. The next thing wise men and women do is to turn to the scriptures, to what has been written for our learning, to make us wise unto salvation. And finally, wise women and men fall down and worship Him. If we do this with the wise men from our story, then like them, we may go back home, but also like them, we will be changed, traveling another way, transformed by our encounter with Jesus. They set out from there on another road, a new road, a different road than the one they had been traveling upon. We have been traveling upon a road for the past many years. But the Lord wants us to take another road, relocate as we relocate by a GPS system. And we need to do that this year. May hope dwell in our hearts and voices. May that sunrise, the light of Christ, shine brightly on each of us as we journey on the new road we will be traveling upon in this new year. In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.